Good afternoon to you. I'm Dave Beck, afternoon host at listener-supported Classical King FM in Seattle at 98.1. I'm a Seattle area cellist and your host for the series of Classical Conversations, programs available via podcast produced by the Seattle Chamber Music Society in association with Classical King. King FM is broadcasting all six of this winter's festival concerts coming to you from the Nordstrom Recital Hall at Benaroya Hall in Seattle. This afternoon, we're coming to you from Soundbridge at Benaroya for the first of two interview sessions we'll have this season with Seattle Chamber Music Society festival artists. And let me introduce today's guest. It's a great testament to the esteem in which Canadians hold their native musician Luc Beauséjour to know that Luc was invited to perform the Bach-Goldberg variations at the Glenn Gould Studio in Toronto for a CBC Network commemoration of the great pianist's birthday. Luc Beauséjour collaborates with another fellow Canadian who we know well in Seattle, and that is the violinist and Seattle Chamber Music Society Artistic Director James Ennis. James and Luc have recorded a beautiful set of compositions that we'll sample this hour, those being the works for violin and harpsichord by J.S. Bach. Those are among 30-some recordings that Luc has made as music director, harpsichordist, and organist. He teaches harpsichord and organ at the Conservatory at the University of Montreal, is a Quebec native. His appearances this weekend in Seattle will feature a Bach French suite, Handel violin sonata, and service as the featured harpsichordist in the famous set of violin concerti called L'Estro Armonico by Antonio Vivaldi. We will sample much of that music in the time ahead. Please welcome Luc Beauséjour. I guess it's a welcome back. You have been in Seattle before.
Yeah, it's the second time I was here 2 years ago. We played the Brandenburg Concerto by Bach, and I also did a pre-concert and another piece by Debussy. It was a kind of arrangement. It was very fun with oboe and horn and harpsichord.
You have a fairly extensive history with James Ennis, performed a lot together.
Yeah, it was very fun. It's a long story, but I could tell you this.
We got some time.
This story. First, I had an agent at that time, maybe 15 years ago, and he said, "Luc, you should ask James Ennis and play with him." So I called his agent, and his agent said, "Oh, where do you want to play?" I said, "In a chapel." "Where? Where?" So he thought a hall, but we had a chapel. So it turns out that we did the concert with Radio Canada, the CBC. And a few years later, James was with my producer, Analecta, Mario Labbé, in New York. And Mario said to James, "Would you like to perform Chrysler Sonata with piano?" And James said, "I would like to play Bach sonatas with Luc Beauséjour." So this is the way I did the sonatas with James. Uh-huh. So it was the beginning of this story.
Yes, yeah. And then the Brandenburgs, as you say, a couple of years ago.
So I got an invitation after a long time by James. "Oh, would you like to play the Bach with us?" I said, "Yes."
We're glad you did.
Yeah.
You have taken on the extraordinary feat, demanding feat, of recording both sets of the Well-Tempered Clavier, yeah, by Johann Sebastian Bach. Tell me a little bit about what kind of a journey that is for you.
This journey began when I was a teenager. I learned, of course, the little minuet, da 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 di da da, when I was very young. But I had the Glenn Gould recording, the first book, and my dream was to play the longest fugue in the book one. So maybe I was 13, 12, 14, I don't remember. I asked my teacher to play the fugue in A minor, ta ta tam pam pa da da tam pam pa, so 6 pages at least, and then I could learn this fugue, and I was very attracted by this music, by the fugue, all these keys, because in the well-tempered clavier you have C major, C minor, C sharp major, and it's an incredible work. So when I was 20, I decided to learn all the first book with my teacher. I said, I want to sit, of course, learn it. And then I had this project to learn Art of Fugue, to learn the second book, to learn the Goldberg variation. So I did that because for me it's like something very, very important. Bach is my god in music, you see?
When I heard Simon Woods, who's the executive director of the Seattle Symphony here, he was presenting Andras Schiff, and they were doing the Goldberg variations, and he was talking about his love for Bach, and Simon said, Bach for him is math and God.
Okay. I agree.
I thought that was a pretty succinct. Anyway, one of the things well, let's play a little bit before we want to get a little music in this afternoon. So this is from your recording. This is it's the first book. Yeah, C sharp major, BWV 848. So they go through all 12 major and minor keys in both books.
Exactly.
And it's this was the time when the ideas of tuning the instrument were changing.
And you have 96 pieces if you do the total of the book one and book two.
Right, yeah. Here is the C sharp major prelude. Luc Beauséjour with the Well-Tempered Clavier, Book One, C Sharp Major Prelude. He does so much with basically the same format. It's a prelude and fugue, but such inventiveness and.
Yeah, it's incredible because when you think of a fugue, you have a theme could be very short and simple, and all kind of combinations Bach can do with this simple theme. It's incredible, I find. Mm-hmm. And it's if you compare all these themes of the fugues in book one and book two, it's very, very interesting. Did you do this exercise?
Did I do? Yeah. Well, what I remember about the Well-Tempered Clavier is was tonal counterpoint from this wonderful Professor William Bergsma at the University of Washington. And we would write our fake Bach fugues on the blackboard. And he would come and he would always have his well-worn copy of the WTC and he would sort of make some corrections. And then he would go to Bach and he goes, Bach always got it right. that was his. And I think that's the case. Yeah. Well, while we're talking about fugues, I want to get one. We've got the preludes. We'll play a couple of those. But here's the G major from I believe this is the second book here. So we'll take a listen to this. ¶¶ What memories come back to you of studying that music or preparing it for this recording as you listen to that?
Oh, it's like a dance. You can feel something very light.
Yes.
And there is a lot of... it's not so difficult to play, but there is a kind of joy in this music, mm-hmm. which I really like.
Mm-hmm. I think of my experience with Bach is through the cello suites. Mm-hmm. And again, there the variety of invention, the way that he matured over the course of writing those suites and getting them to the five-string instrument and doing all this wonderful sense of counterpoint on a single-line instrument always strikes me as the kind of the miracle of the cello suites.
It's true, yeah.
I want to play some of the Bach recording that you've done with James Ennis. Mm-hmm. And tell me a little bit about what you appreciate about your partnership with James. You'll be playing Handel with him this weekend.
I remember the first rehearsal we did. So I didn't know James very well at that time. It was the same case for him. So I remember he took his violin. I was a little bit nervous. I tuned my instrument. I hoped that it was okay. So we look at each other and then start to play. And at the end of the piece, we did, yeah. Should we go on? Yeah. So we did the second piece, and it was like this. It was very natural and easy, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good introduction to this. I just think this is a stunningly beautiful passage in your recording together with James Ennis. I can see sometimes why you wouldn't have to say much. Yeah. Because Bach says an awful lot, doesn't he?
Exactly. Yeah. And such a great memories when I think of this recording. We were in Domaine Forget in Quebec. It's about a few hours from Quebec City. It was during winter, December, something. Everything was white. We could see the river. And we were there just to record. That's it. And eat.
That sounds like a lot of fun. You were born in Quebec.
Yes, in fact, I'm born in Rawdon, Rawdon. It's about 1 hour from Montreal, small village. It's called Sunshine Village. I don't know what. And I could have lessons, piano lessons, when I was young, because the sisters they had a convent, couvent.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I was at high school, the primary school, and after class we could go, we were about 15 students and could play, learn the music, the piano. And then could do competition. And after competition, I sometimes win the competition and go to a musical camp where a harpsichord was there. So it was the beginning of
I think it's written you're about 11 years old when you're introduced to the harpsichord.
Exactly. And my parents gave me a tape recorder so I could record a recorder and a harpsichord concert. And during all year I listened to this music, and nothing was more beautiful than harpsichord and recorder, you see?
Yeah. What was it about your personality or your, you know, musical passions that connected so well with the harpsichord?
I don't know. I think I like the sound first and also the music, because all the Baroque music was written for harpsichord, not only harpsichord, but the main repertoire is for harpsichord, Bach, Rameau, Scarlatti, Handel, great composers. So I like this music. I want to play all the pieces of this period.
Yeah. I want to play a few short examples from L'Estro Armonico, Vivaldi. Was this an idea that James had as a violinist? This is a famous set of violin concertos from 1711.
Yeah, he had this idea. In these concerti, you have the harpsichord, of course. The harpsichord brings a rhythmical and harmonic support to the pieces. But of course, the king in this music is the violin.
They're double concertos, single concertos, four violins, and it's a set of 12. So you had a lot to choose from here.
Yeah, and you know that Bach chose six of them and transcribed these pieces for organ or keyboard or four harpsichord. So it's very interesting. So it means that even Bach was very interested in this music.
Mm-hmm. What do you think that Bach heard that he got so excited about, that wanted to, you know, take inspiration here?
Yeah, I think it's the writing of Vivaldi, you have something extremely it's precise, and the construction first maybe is something very interesting for Bach. The construction and also the melodic stuff you find in these pieces.
Mm-hmm. And he's starting to demand things of violinists that had never been asked before in terms of the extreme virtuosity. Let's listen. This one is probably, to my ears, the most famous of the set. It's the A minor double violin concerto, and we'll hear a little bit of the Allegro first movement here. Double violin concerto from L'Estro Armonico as we continue our conversation here with Luc Beauséjour. So you have to make some decisions about how you're going to do this piece, you know, how many players you want to do. What sort of discussions did you have there?
You mean with James Ennis?
Yes, with James, yes.
No discussion, in fact.
He is the artistic director, I suppose.
Exactly.
So. But what kind of concept did you have about, you know, how many people you want to have?
You can play these pieces with maybe one violin. It's a solo violin. And in the orchestra, you can have also one. You have one part for the viola, for instance, or the cello. You may decide not to double each part. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting when it's very transparent, mm-hmm. I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a fairly small group
small
of players
ensemble
on the stage. And different James and Amy Schwartz Moretti and Aaron Keefe and Arnaud Sussman, I think, are the soloists. And they all get a different...
Yeah. They change sometimes. James is first, and sometimes he's second, or all kind of combination. Mm-hmm.
What is your understanding of when this title Lestro Armonico, harmonic imagination or inventiveness?
I think invention, something mm-hmm. like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not easy to translate.
Mm-hmm. I'll play this slower movement, and I think it's remarkable, kind of the way Vivaldi uses the instruments and the mood that he creates here. And that's kind of what the question I'm getting to. So let's listen to it and we'll talk about that. I think, first of all, in terms of the dialogue of the instruments, the four violins that begin there, that's interesting in and of itself. And then when that's spiccato, it's called Largo e Spiccato, the title of the movement. It evokes images. There's
images,
something.
Yeah. We are not far from the seasons. Maybe.
Yes, exactly.
We can think of the few movements and the seasons. Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me, too, that the Vivaldi, became such a great theatrical composer. All the operas and the stories he was telling when he got to add the chorus and voices.
Yeah, we find this in his instrumental music also, because you cannot separate the opera composer and the instrumentalist in Vivaldi.
Right, exactly. There's... interesting accounts of, so this is 1711, and he's at this famous ospedale, the orphanage. And I think it's sort of sweet. It's supposed to be, it's an orphanage. But my understanding is that it was, the noblemen who fathered illegitimate children, they were sent to these orphanages. And so, interesting backstory there. But what fascinates you about the... circumstances that Vivaldi wrote in or all the music that was produced at this particular school?
You know, Vivaldi composed for composed operas and instrumental music, but never for harpsichord. So if you have... I like operas, Vivaldi's operas, and I like the instrumental music. But I would like to have also keyboard music by Vivaldi, and I couldn't speak a lot if we
composed. That takes us back to, that's why Bach was so important. And so you experience a lot of Vivaldi through these Bach transcriptions that you've
exactly.
spoken about.
especially on the four harpsichord concerto, and also for the we have keyboard concerti. But you know, Bach was very interested in transcribed also Marcello concerto,
yes.
Telemann. So this kind of exercise was very important for him to understand maybe the structure and the melodic and the way the music is done.
Mm-hmm. And this is one of the pieces you're going to present this weekend, yeah. as well.
I will play Marcello concerto. It's a oboe concerto, but a transcription for keyboard.
Mm-hmm. I want to return to, let's do one more sample from L'Estro a Monaco, just since we have it here. But the one thing that it sparked in my imagination is Venice was such an interesting place when Vivaldi was writing music there. And this Ospedale had all these extraordinary, you know, young women and that conducted and played all these instruments, and the philosopher Rousseau supposedly came through, and they would play in this courtyard, and they were separated by a screen. So people would try to peek behind the screen and see these, you know, these young women playing instruments just fabulously.
Yeah, and I think for the very talented young girl, it was easy to find a very rich husband.
Yeah. That's right. Yes, and then that cycle that we talked about starts all over again. So one more from Double Concerto from L'Estro Armonico. This was in this one's in D minor. It's one of the pieces that'll be performed this weekend at the Seattle Chamber Music Society. One of the things I'm struck by listening to this is this music sounds like it's so much fun to play.
It's a real fun. It's not so difficult, but at the same time, it's not always predictable. You play the music and suddenly, oh, you have a chord. Oh, you don't expect. You see, it's mm-hmm. a little bit like this.
Mm-hmm. What kind of conversations are there? I'm struck by, you know, you've spent so much of your life as a Baroque music specialist. We heard, of course, that you play Debussy and you play other repertory. But there's got to be an exchange of ideas between people playing on modern instruments. And what sorts of conversations come up? What discussions do you have?
You will be surprised. We don't discuss so much because when I play with a modern player, it's always, if the musician is very good, it's always pleasant to play with someone like this.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if I have the choice, I would prefer the Baroque instrument because I find very often the balance with harpsichord is better. But I won't say no to a concert with modern instrument. I like to play with the MSO, the Montreal Symphonic Orchestra, if I have the chance to do a Handel concerto, for instance. Mm-hmm. I won't say no. So it's my spirit.
Yeah, and I find that, for instance, when Baroque specialists come to do Messiah with the Seattle Symphony here, that there's a real excitement in the orchestra about learning, you know, these historically informed mm-hmm. ideas, that they're just kind of, and I can't speak for all players, but some of them are just ready for some new insights and ideas about this period of music.
Yeah, very interesting, because I did a few times Messiah with the Ottawa Symphony, and they hired a conductor, a specialist. So it was very interesting. They decided to do it like Baroque musicians would do. And the result was very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know for a fact that some of the musicians here in Seattle actually have, you know, they've taken up Baroque violin or yeah. cello, and the ones that have, you know, pursued it very seriously are mm. just, you know, thrilled at the new colors and possibilities.
Exactly. And James Ennis mentioned to me that with a symphonic orchestra, they played Rameau, Jean-Philippe Rameau. So it's quite unusual. Mm-hmm. But he told me that the sound was very good. So I think it's something very interesting to for symphonic symphonies to have access to this repertoire, mm-hmm. because it's
and
so
major,
beautiful.
Yes, yeah. It's beautiful, and major chamber music societies and festivals yeah. obviously yeah. Are benefiting that yeah. from that as well. So, let me play one more selection from you and James, and this is another violin harpsichord sonata that Luc Beauséjour and James Ennis have recorded together here. Another great example of Bach dancing there.
Yeah, it's a jig.
Yes, it's beautiful. So I'm thinking with you and James playing together on that recording and the various engagements you've described, here are two Canadian musicians, you know, playing Baroque music. And I think of the early music scene in Vancouver, the one in Toronto, in Montreal. Is there a particular Canadian flavor or feel when it comes to the world of early music? Is there something that, you know, that in a sense that Canada distinguishes itself? Because you've also, you know, played in Europe and mm-hmm. studied in Amsterdam and
it's a difficult question, because maybe you could answer to this question.
No, in this case, this is why I posed it to you. I'm curious, because, you know, at the radio station, there's so many, you know, lovely recordings that come out of Canada and the early music world there.
Yeah, we are very lucky, because we have a lot of record company, especially in Quebec. And these companies can have money from the government, so through programs. So we are very happy, because we can record wonderful projects.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are there other recordings or engagements coming up for you that you're particularly excited about taking
yeah,
on?
Yeah, something you won't expect, this answer. I was asked to record on piano, but I'm a harpsichordist, I know, but I was a pianist, and I would like to record Baroque music that was not recorded by pianists, you know? So I won't play Bach or Handel, but I want to choose like Louis Couperin on piano, and I tried with my friends, and they were very surprised because it's so great. And my goal is to bring this music to people who doesn't like harpsichord. So maybe they will like these pieces on piano, and mm-hmm. I will be happy.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just so interesting because in some ways, we had to go away from the modern instruments before we could come back. Mm-hmm. I started playing classical recordings 30 years ago when, you know, and it was still kind of an exotic thing to hear a period instrument recording. But I just am fascinated when musicians, you know, take up modern instruments, both all the Baroque and early music sensibilities. It just gives a, you know, a richness and freshness to the music that's just very extraordinary. Which I suppose is why this Vestero and Monaco project is so much fun and so rewarding.
Oh, it's a candy.
Candy.
A petit bonbon.
That's right. It's going to be a treat for all of us. Here's one more from Well-Tempered Clavier, Book 2. This is your most recent project on Naxos.
Naxos, yeah.
And we'll listen to the D minor prelude here as our final selection. The harpsichord may not be to everyone's taste, Luke, but you make a very good case for the harpsichord.
Oh, thank you.
That was beautiful. It's beautiful. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk
to
us.
It was a pleasure to meet you and to meet the people.
Absolutely. And Luc Beauséjour has been our guest here on our Classical Conversation podcast. You can find this program and our entire series of podcasts online at seattlechambermusic.org and find links at king.org as well. Get your tickets and other information about the Winter Festival of the Seattle Chamber Music Society at seattlechambermusic.org. These winter concerts by the Society continue tonight through January 31st in Benaroya Hall here in Seattle in the Nordstrom Recital Hall, and all of the concerts broadcast live this winter on listener-supported Classical King FM at 98.1. James Ennis is the artistic director for the Seattle Chamber Music Society, Connie Cooper, the executive director, our engineer for these podcasts and the King FM broadcasts. is Bill Levy. The programs are produced by me and Seattle Chamber Music Society Director of Education Programs and Operations, Jeremy Jolly. You can join us for our next session of this classical conversation. We'll record the podcast on Saturday, January 31st at noon with William Wolfram, the excellent pianist. I'm Dave Beck, the afternoon host and producer at Listeners Supported Classical King FM at 98.1. And thank you so much for joining us today.